Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Beautiful morning. I think I'll go outside for a while and just smile. Just taking some clean, fresh air for me.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Donald Lambro, ladies and gentlemen, is senior political correspondent for the Washington Times, and he's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust, and he's our friend, and he's with us right now. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning to you. It's good to have you back on the show. Don, you had a very interesting interview recently with somebody that most people listening will probably, whose name they would probably remember, and probably even whose face they would remember, Mr. Leon Panetta. Tell us about that.
Well, I called up Leon, and we talked about the Democratic presidential race, and Bill Clinton's former White House chief of staff, certainly one of the wise men in the Democratic Party, keeps in very close contact with Clinton, following the campaigns very closely and talking with other party leaders. He's got his hand on the Democratic Party's pulse, I think, and he said there were a lot of concerns in the party about Dean's candidacy, particularly on the issue of national security.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he really focused on. He felt that as someone who was championing the anti-war protest movement against the war in Iraq, someone who has bashed the president for going into Iraq, who said he wouldn't have voted for the resolution that was supported by a lot of his Democratic presidential campaign rivals, Kerry, Lieberman, Gephardt, and many others, and would not have voted for it, does not like the policy of preemption to go after someone who is dangerous to us and our allies, and would prefer to wait until something bad happens before we act. And all that kind of balled together, feeds an image or perception of being weak on national security. And Panetta gave me some very strong statements. Tim Russert read from it in his roundtable on Meet the Press about a week or two ago. So there is that concern, I think, among the leadership and the Democratic Party that is going on in the background as Dean rises faster and faster in the polls, and after the Gore announcement becomes now the odds-on choice to win the Democratic presidential nomination. There's a deep ideological split in the party.
It's interesting that Mr. Panetta, if I'm not mistaken, I have talked to his organization in the last few months, and he's there in Washington now primarily, isn't he?
No, he's out in California. He comes to Washington frequently, but
he's got his own firm now, though, doesn't he?
And well, it's called the Panetta Institute.
Right.
Now, I think it's out in Claremont. Anyway, it's a think tank that he has.
Right.
But he is called upon by a lot of people during the accounting scandal and the problems with the stock markets. He was one of the people brought in to advise the financial community how to repair the damage done to the confidence in Wall Street and in corporate accounting procedures. So he's someone who is called upon for some big things. And right now, people like Clinton and others in the party who are concerned about losing more than just the presidency next year, but with someone who is weak on national security at the top of the ticket, would hurt a lot of the candidates who are trying to keep some Senate seats from falling into Republican hands.
Well, you know, the interesting thing here is Mr. Panetta, who has always been very closely aligned, obviously, with Mr. Clinton, who we've always thought had was the de facto leader of the Democratic Party, if not the one out front, then, you know, and so you've got that side, and then you've got Mr. Gore recently announcing his support for Mr. Dean. So that's kind of an interesting little little situation there, isn't it?
It is. Let me read a few of the quotes from this interview with Leon Panetta. There clearly are concerns about Dean's ability to appeal to the entire country, particularly on national security issues, Panetta told me. There's concern about how does this play out a year from now? How can you compete with President Bush on the national security front? There is some concern about whether Dean can rise to the occasion on this issue. And then Panetta goes on to say, this country wants to know that whoever is elected president understands the importance of protecting our national security. While there may be one path to winning the nomination, it's a very different path to winning the presidency. And, of course, he's talking about the path that Dean has chosen at the very beginning to reach out to the anti-war protest wing, liberal wing of the Democratic Party. And that is what has catapulted him to the front-runner position. But it's very different when you're running in the general election and people feel you are leading, you have a dovish position on national security, on defense, and leading the peace movement, anti-war movement.
Don, isn't the real fight for the White House in the middle with the independents? I mean, we already know that the hardcore conservatives are going to vote for the Republican, and the hardcore liberals are going to vote for the true party faithfuls are going to vote for their party. Then you got the folks in the middle who haven't made up their mind, and those people probably aren't answering polls right now. They're not going to be voting in Iowa and New Hampshire, and those are the people who they're going to have to appeal to 6 or 8 months from now, aren't they?
Well, you're absolutely right on that. Of course, we know for many, many years, decades really, the fastest growing voting bloc in the country, not counting, of course, the Hispanics, which do not vote really in a bloc, but are very diverse, is the independent vote. And that is growing, and, of course, the swing vote. And you have two approaches here, how to, for the Democratic Party, how to win back the White House. One is the successful one by Bill Clinton. Up front, before he began to run, he staked out strong positions on national security to reassure voters that the Democrats were going to protect national security and be tough on it. He also came out for taxes cuts for the middle class, if you recall, in his campaign, and he called for trade expansion. Free trade expansion to sell more U.S. products around the world.
All middle ground, even just a little bit to the right.
That's right.
On a lot of those issues. Don, hold on to those thoughts. When we come back, folks, I'm going to ask Don how much the Democrats are worried about getting the White House back and how much they really may be worried about Mr. Bush's coattails not being too long. That's what I think they're the most worried about. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back is 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don Lambro is our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, he's chief political correspondent for the Washington Times and a syndicated columnist. Many of you see his byline in your local newspaper around the country. He's in dozens and dozens of those. You can find his column in the Washington Times a couple of times a week, and you can see them on their website, right, Don? WashingtonTimes.com?
That's right.
You can find Don's articles there, and Don's always got the goods and sometimes even the scoop, so you want to keep up with what Don Lambro is working on. Don, I don't think anybody expected Mr. Clinton to win the White House when he did. I don't think he thought he was going to win. I think the stars were aligned for him. They were aligned against Bush 41. Mr. Bush couldn't believe that he was getting beat by Clinton, and I think the wind kind of came out of his sails personally and organizationally, and so Mr. Clinton won, and so now we come up on the second term of Mr. Bush, and the stars seem to be aligning a little bit better. The economy's probably going to be okay when the election comes around. We've got another year to resolve Iraq, which God willing will make that happen. At least maybe it won't be a debacle over there between now and then. So things are not looking all that good, in my opinion, for getting Mr. Bush out of the White House. I think the Democrats know that. I think they know it's a big hill that they've got to climb. Don't you think, Don, that that what their real fear is that not that they won't get the White House back, but that Mr. Bush's coattails will be so strong a year from now or 11 months from now that they will lose more ground in Congress.
Well, I think that's true, and we saw evidence currently of Bush's coattails in a way, although he wasn't at the top of the ticket in the midterm elections 2002. But he put his reputation on the line on a lot of races and campaigned hard in Minnesota and Georgia, Missouri, and the Republicans picked up Senate seats. They know he's going to be now at the head of the ticket. He might have more of centrifugal force to pull some races into the Republican column. And we saw further evidence of that, and again in 2003, again, Bush was campaigning in Kentucky, in Mississippi, in California, where the Republicans picked up three governorships. So the last 2 years, a lot of evidence that when Bush gets out there, he can swing voters. And I think this is going to be a close election. I think there is a lot of evidence that we still are a 50-50 nation.
Stop. Wait, Don. Did you just say that you think you're predicting that it's going to be a close election?
I think
in terms of keeping Congress or in terms of the White House?
Well, I think right now you have to say it's probably going to be, on the popular vote for the White House, a close election. But, you know, there's a lot of ebb and flows. We don't know the degree to which, let's say, Dean is a nominee, how he's going to be perceived. The jury is still way out on that. That roadshow is still just in the Democratic primary battle, and
but
that is not a true reflection.
Are you thinking it's a foregone conclusion that pretty close to a foregone conclusion that Dean will be the nominee?
I do. Mm-hmm. I believe he will be the nominee.
And based on Dean being the nominee, you think that's very interesting that you would.
Well,
think.
Because you know this is a guy who knows how to stoke the anger of voters.
Yeah.
He is not like any other Democratic nominee before. On the stump, he is tough. He knows how to give red meat to his audience. And we may still be a 50-50 nation, as pollster John Sogby says. We certainly were very close in the popular vote in the last presidential election. I don't think anything has fundamentally changed that, but that will it's a moving target. And as you mentioned with the economy, that has really helped Bush a great deal. Electorally, you know, this could be a wipeout, and Bush could win electorally in a landslide. But the popular vote in some key states is going to be close, in Michigan, in the key Midwestern states,
Pennsylvania,
which are going to decide who is going to be president.
Don, what about California? How much of a new situation does California present now with a Republican governor? And actually, not just a Republican governor, but a rock star Republican governor.
Well, you have to believe that, first of all, when you have the governorship in the biggest electoral state, that helps everything in that state. When the president comes in arguing for the president's programs and policies, using his organization, of course, talking about Schwarzenegger now, and improving the situation there to make it more fertile ground for Bush to be more competitive in a state that, presidentially anyway, has been in the Democratic column. We've been following Schwarzenegger. I'm sure you have, and he's got a Democratic legislature, and nothing really has really moved very much there. He may be taking his case to a referendum, so he's got to improve the situation there on the budget, which is deficit is huge. The economy nationally is going to help Schwarzenegger, and to the degree that does, then it's going to improve, I think, Bush's chances there.
Right.
But California is still it's in play. But that is still a big question mark on who can carry that state.
Right. Don, let me stop you for a second. I want to go to another subject. Folks, Don Lambro has written a number of books. And, Don, give us the title of the last couple of books you've written.
Well, they've been a long time away. It's hard for me to remember them. It's been a long while
They're still available in libraries and...
Well, in libraries, I guess. They're not they're not in print. Someone looked up at Amazon... .com. I think they were still selling some copies of Fat City.
Don Lambro, Fat City.
Fat City,
how
Washington wastes your taxes, yeah.
When you get a chance. Don Lambro, thank you for being here. We appreciate your time.
Okay.
See you next time. Don Lambro, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. I'll be right back. The show is brought to you by IBM.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.